Chapter 4. Clocking in. The black Honda hovered 20 meters above the octagonal deck of the derelict oil rig. It was nearing dawn, and Turner could make out the faded outline of a biohazard trefoil marking the helicopter pad. "You got a biohazard down there, Conroy?"
"None you aren't used to,"
Conroy said. A figure in a red jumpsuit made brisk arm signals to the Honda's pilot. Propwash flung scraps of packing waste into the sea as they landed. Conroy slapped the release plate on his harness and leaned across Turner to unseal the hatch. The roar of the engines battered them as the hatch slid open. Conroy was jabbing him in the shoulder, making urgent lifting motions with an upturned palm. He pointed to the pilot. Turner scrambled out and dropped, the prop a blur of thunder. Then Conroy was crouching beside him. They cleared the faded trefoil with the bent-legged crab scuttle common to helicopter pads, the Honda's wind snapping their pants legs around their ankles. Turner carried a plain gray suitcase, molded from ballistic ABS, his only piece of luggage. Someone had packed it for him at the hotel, and it had been waiting on Tsushima. A sudden change in pitch told him the Honda was rising. It went winding away toward the coast, showing no lights. As the sound faded, Turner heard the cries of gulls and the slap and slide of the Pacific.
"Someone tried to set up a data haven here once," Conroy said. "International waters. Back then, nobody lived in orbit, so it made sense for a few years."
He started for a rusted forest of beam supporting the rig's superstructure.
"One scenario Hosaka showed me. We'd get Mitchell out here, clean him up, stick him on Tsushima, and full steam for old Japan. I told him forget that shit. Moss gets onto it and they can come down on this thing with anything they want. I told him that compound they got down on the DF, that's the ticket, right?
Plenty of shit Moss wouldn't pull there. Not in the fucking middle of Mexico City." A figure stepped from the shadows, head distorted by the bulbous goggles of an image amplification rig. It waved them on with the blunt clustered muzzles of a Lansing flechette gun.
"Biohazard,"
Conroy said as they edged past. "Duck your head here and watch it. The stairs get slippery." The rig smelled of rust and disuse and brine. There were no windows. The discolored cream walls were blotched with spreading scabs of rust. Battery-powered fluorescent lanterns were slung every few meters from beams overhead, casting a hideous green-tinged light, at once intense and naggingly uneven. At least a dozen figures were at work in this central room. They moved with the relaxed precision of good technicians. Professionals, Turner thought. Their eyes seldom met, and there was little talking. It was cold, very cold, and Conroy had given him a huge parka covered with tabs and zippers. A bearded man in a sheepskin bomber jacket was securing bundled lengths of fiber optic line to a dented bulkhead with silver tape. Conroy was locked in a whispered argument with a black woman who wore a parka like Turner's. The bearded tech looked up from his work and saw Turner.
"Shit,"
he said, still on his knees.
"I figured it was a big one, but I guess it's gonna be a rough one too."
He stood wiping his palms automatically on his jeans. Like the rest of the techs, he wore micropore surgical gloves.
"You're Turner."
He grinned, glanced quickly in Conroy's direction, and pulled a black plastic flask from a jacket pocket.
"Take some chill off. You remember me. Worked on that job in Marrakesh. IBM boy went over to Mitsuji, wired the charges on that bus you and the Frenchman drove into that hotel lobby." Turner took the flask, snapped its lid, and tipped it. Bourbon. It stung deep and sour, warmth spreading from the region of his sternum. Thanks. He returned the flask and the man pocketed it.
Oki, the man said. Name's Oki. You remember?
Sure. Turner lied. Marrakesh.
Wild turkey, Oki said. Flew in through ski pole. I hit the duty free. Your partner there?
Another glance at Conroy.
He's none too relaxed, is he? I mean, not like Marrakesh, right?
Turner nodded.
You need anything? Oki said. Let me know.
Like what?
Another drink? Or I got some Peruvian flake, the kind that's real yellow.
Oki grinned again. Thanks, Turner said, seeing Conroy turn from the black woman. Oki saw two, kneeling quickly and tearing off a fresh length of silver tape. Who is that? Conroy asked, after leading Turner through a narrow door with decayed black gasket seals at its edges. Conroy spun the wheel that dogged the door shut. Someone had oiled it recently.
Name's Oki,
Turner said, taking in the new room. Smaller. Two of the lanterns, folding tables, chairs, all new. On the tables, instrumentation of some kind under black plastic dust covers. Friend of yours?
No, Turner said. He worked for me once.
He went to the nearest table and flipped back a dust cover.
What's this?
The console had the blank, half-finished look of a factory prototype.
Moss Neotech cyberspace deck.
Turner raised his eyebrows.
Yours?
We got two. One's on site. From Osaka. Fastest thing in the Matrix, evidently. And Osaka can't even de-engineer the chips to copy them. Whole other technology.
They got them from Mitchell?
They aren't saying. The fact they'd let go of them just to give our jockeys an edge is some indication of how badly they want the man.
Who's on console, Conroy?
Jaylene Slide. I was talking to her just now. He jerked his head in the direction of the door. The sight man's out of L.A., kid called Ramirez.
They any good?
Turner replaced the dust cover.
Better be, for what they'll cost. Jaylene's gotten herself a hot rep the past 2 years, and Ramirez is her understudy.
Shit.
Conroy shrugged.
You know these cowboys. Fucking crazy.
Where'd you get them?
Where'd you get Oki, for that matter?
Conroy smiled.
From your agent, Turner.
Turner stared at Conroy, then nodded. Turning, he lifted the edge of the next dust cover. Cases, plastic and styrofoam, stacked neatly on the cold metal of the table. He touched a blue plastic rectangle stamped with a silver monogram, S and W.
Your agent,
Conroy said, as Turner snapped the case open. The pistol lay there in its molded bed of pale blue foam, a massive revolver with an ugly housing that bulged beneath the squat barrel. S&W Tactical 408 with a xenon projector, Conroy said. What he said you'd want. Turner took the gun in his hand and thumbed the battery test stud for the projector. A red LED in the walnut grip pulsed twice. He swung the cylinder out.
Ammunition?
On the table. Hand loads, explosive tips. Turner found a transparent cube of amber plastic, opened it with his left hand, and extracted a cartridge.
Why did they pick me for this, Conroy?
He examined the cartridge, then inserted it carefully into one of the cylinder's six chambers.
I don't know,
Conroy said.
felt like they had you slotted from go whenever they heard from Mitchell.
Turner spun the cylinder rapidly and snapped it back into the frame.
I said, why did they pick me for this, Conroy?
He raised the pistol with both hands and extended his arms, pointing it directly at Conroy's face.
Gun like this, sometimes you can see right down the bore, if the light's right. See if there's a bullet there.
Conroy shook his head very slightly.
Or maybe you can see it in one of the other chambers.
No. Conroy said very softly. No way.
Maybe the shrink screwed up, Conroy. How about that?
No.
Conroy said, his face blank.
They didn't, and you won't.
Turner pulled the trigger.
The hammer clicked on an empty chamber. Conroy blinked once, opened his mouth, closed it, watched as Turner lowered the Smith & Wesson. A single bead of sweat rolled down from Conroy's hairline and lost itself in an eyebrow.
Well?
Turner asked, the gun at his side. Conroy shrugged. Don't do that shit, he said.
They want me that bad?
Conroy nodded. It's your show, Turner.
Where's Mitchell?
He opened the cylinder again and began to load the five remaining chambers.
Arizona?
About 50 kilos from the Sonora line, in a Mesa Top Research Arcology. Moss Biolabs, North America. They own everything around there, right down to the border, and the mesa's smack in the middle of the footprints of four recon satellites. Mucho tight.
And how are we supposed to get in?
We aren't. Mitchell's coming out on his own. We wait for him, pick him up, get his ass to Hosaka intact.
Conroy hooked a forefinger behind the open collar of his black shirt and drew out a length of black nylon cord, then a small black nylon envelope with a Velcro fastener.
He opened it carefully and extracted an object, which he offered to Turner on his open palm. Here, this is what he sent.
Turner put the gun down on the nearest table and took the thing from Conroy. It was like a swollen gray Microsoft, one end routine neurojack, the other a strange rounded formation unlike anything he'd seen.
What is it?
It's Biosoft. Jaylene jacked it and said she thought it was output from an AI. It's sort of a dossier on Mitchell, with a message to Hosaka tacked on the end. You better jack it yourself. You want to get the picture fast.
Turner glanced up from the gray thing. How to grab Jaylene?
She said you better be lying down when you do it. She didn't seem to like it much.
Machine dreams hold a special vertigo. Turner lay down on a virgin slab of green temper foam in the makeshift dorm and jacked Mitchell's dossier. It came on slow. He had time to close his eyes. 10 seconds later, his eyes were open. He clutched the green foam and fought his nausea. Again, he closed his eyes. It came on. Again. Gradually, a flickering, nonlinear flood of fact and sensory data, a kind of narrative conveyed in surreal jump cuts and juxtapositions. It was vaguely like riding a roller coaster that phased in and out of existence at random, impossibly rapid intervals, changing altitude, attack, and direction with each pulse of nothingness, except that the shifts had nothing to do with any physical orientation, but rather with lightning alternations in paradigm and symbol system. The data had never been intended for human input. Eyes open, he pulled the thing from his socket and held it, his palms slick with sweat. It was like waking from a nightmare. Not a screamer,
where impacted fears took on simple, terrible shapes. But the sort of dream infinitely more disturbing, where everything is perfectly and horribly normal, and where everything is utterly wrong. The intimacy of the thing was hideous. He fought down waves of raw transference, bringing all his will to bear on crushing a feeling that was akin to love. The obsessive tenderness a watcher comes to feel for the subject of prolonged surveillance. Days or hours later, he knew the most minute details of Mitchell's academic record might bob to the surface of his mind. Or the name of a mistress, the scent of her heavy red hair in the sunlight through. He sat up quickly, the plastic soles of his shoes smacking the rusted deck. He still wore the parka, and the Smith & Wesson, in a side pocket, swung painfully against his hip. It would pass. Mitchell's psychic odor would fade, as surely as the Spanish grammar and the lexicon evaporated after each use. What he had experienced was a mass security dossier compiled by a sentient computer. Nothing more. He replaced the Biosoft in Conroy's little black wallet, smoothed the Velcro seal with his thumb, and put the cord around his neck. He became aware of the sound of waves lapping the flanks of the rig.
"Hey, boss,"
someone said from beyond the brown military blanket that screened the entrance to the dorm area.
"Conroy says it's time for you to inspect the troops. Then you and him depart for other parts."
Oki's bearded face slid from behind the blanket.
"Otherwise, I wouldn't wake you up, right?"
"I wasn't sleeping," Turner said, and stood, fingers reflexively kneading the skin around the implanted socket.
"Too bad," Oki said. "I got derms will put you under all the way. 1 hour on the button, then kicking some kind of righteous upper, get you up and on the case, no lie."
Turner shook his head. "Take me to Conroy."